secure the soft drinks, hold on to your hot dogs. Crossroads fans, are you ready for the 13th annual Super Bowl of Preaching? Come on!
How many Seattle fans? Seattle? All right, what about the Patriots?
Few boos.
That sounded a little negative in tone. All right, how about Bengals? Come on.
There they are.
All right, well done. My name is Mark Stetcher. I'm the campus pastor up in Mason, and I am with my esteemed colleague co-hosting, Mr. Greg McElfrish from the new West Side campus.
That's right. West Side is the best side. Thank you very much. Hey, folks, what you're about to see today is an epic battle of biblical truth meeting complete and utter irreverence.
Irreverent though it be, it will be a blast. One thing that is important to note right now, please do not, I've already seen a few violators, don't crack your glow stick. Wait until you are further instructed.
You. That's right. Even when you think it's time to crack your glow stick, do not crack it until we tell you to. Mark, tell us who all is watching today.
We have an amazing church that has five different campuses all over the city. So whether you're here in Oakley, Mason, Florence, Westside, or our newest campus in Clifton, we are really excited to have you today.
That's right. Folks, what you're about to see today should have gotten this place shut down years ago.
It is true. It is true, but it's not. So at this time, critical that we fill this place up with as many of our friends and neighbors as we can. And that means one thing, even though you've settled your bottoms in those nice, comfortable seats, I want everybody to stand up and squish
That's
to
right.
the middle of your section.
Need you to squish,
Come
get
on,
rid of
everybody
all the
up.
Buffer seats.
Look at those coats taking up valuable seats. This one is going to be jam packed.
That's right. We've got a lot of folks in the parking lot, a lot of general admission in the atrium, and we need to make room for all of them, specifically along the aisles.
I am not seeing a lot of movement in the center. I'm talking to you folks. Please get up and move to the center
we
section.
We need you to squish. And now, anybody without a ticket or with a general admission, wherever you're at, all seats are now fair game. Come on in quickly and safely and find a seat.
And fill it up while we get a great look behind the incredible training and preparation that these two Super Bowl champions in the past have been doing. First, we're going to look at it from the perspective of the Super Bowl sideline reporter, Mr. Solomon Wilcott. Solly, what do you got for us?
2014 was a record-breaking season for the National Preaching League. New sites all over town, new preaching challenges, new motorcycle trips, and half marathons. Now, I did sit down with both Brian and Chuck to look back at this season's highlights in preparation for the big game. Unfortunately, some idiots running around who deleted all of this season's footage. Undo. Undo. Guys, I think we've got a problem. We spent hours painstakingly recreating all the footage we lost. I bet they won't even notice.
Well, Brian, once again, you're gearing up for the big game. What's your approach to this year's game?
Gosh, my approach this year, Solomon, is to stay fresh. I've been at it a while now, been hitting the same nail for a long, long time. So it's all about game day intensity and preparation all year long. And so I feel like I've been doing that, and I'm ready to wind it up, dust off my sleeves, and get going.
Now, you're approaching the big 5-0. One is starting to think about the fact that you might be a little bit over the hill. You might be sort of in that Peyton Manning phase of your game. What do you have to say about that?
Well, it's an understandable criticism because, you know, dudes do start to slow down when they get to be about 50 and the neurochemistry starts to stall a bit. But that's why I'm always challenging myself. You know, I did a big, huge motorcycle ride this last summer. I went to the top of Phantom Lake. It was very, very challenging. In Wyoming, very few people have ever seen such a place with their own human eyes, but I have. I've seen it, I've been to the promised land, and I'm going to continue to go on to new adventures, even at the ripe old age of 49.
How has Phantom Lake and that trip, how has that experience sort of reinvigorated your message?
I think it's shown me that there is such a thing as teamwork. And as team, we've got to take the hill together. It doesn't matter how intense the climb might be, how big the body of water might be. If you pull together as a team and get there, you can get there. And so I think that's affected me in a variety of different ways.
Now, I've been hearing tales that Chuck is really up for this year's game. What do you have for him that he hasn't seen before? He knows you very well.
He does know me well, but the great thing is this. I'll let him know what I'm doing because I'm going to do the same thing and I'm going to beat him yet again. That's the brilliant thing. He knows what's coming. Smash mouth preaching. Just jamming the word of God right down your teeth, getting in your heart. I do that every time, day in, day out. You know it's coming, but you can't stop it, and that's going to happen again.
Can't stop him. Can only hope to contain him.
No, I can't even. Bend, not break. Hope to not contain. Can't touch this.
I like to look back at some of last year's highlights from the Like a Boss series. Let's take a look.
You know what? Let's knock one off the to-do list, huh? Let's go. Watch this. Boom! Good morning, Molly! Are we working hard today or hardly working? Let's see what. Boom! Hey! Be encouraged! Oh, empty desks, empty offices. Don't people work on Saturdays anymore? Those people are getting fired. What about that? Let's go to the workroom next.
Okay, they're finally in alphabetical order.
Oh, boom! They love that! Oh, yeah, party! Watch this one. Whoa!
Oh my gosh!
What's happening? Is Memoryverse is receivable over here or something? I love the IT department. IP, more like that. Watch. Boom! Boom! Hey! Be encouraged! Watch the. Want to play a little joke on somebody? What about this? They're gonna love it. It's crazy around here. It's so fun. Watch this. Got an idea. Huh? Oh, yeah.
What about staff morale? Because I could see you're having a lot of fun with them.
I am having a lot of fun with them. And that's really all that matters, as long as I'm having fun, because it really is all about me. If I can have a cheap thrill, I'll take a cheap thrill any day because it doesn't cost me much money. And so I've been trying to really do my best to bring staff to a new role, to new place. Basically, it's kind of a saying I've been bantering about these days. Know your role and shut your hole. That's just, you do that, everyone wins. No, let's all say it after me. Know your role and shut your hole. That's right. That's a winning credo right there.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, how you doing? By the way, you look great.
Thanks, Ollie, man. It's good to see you too. You're looking great.
Yeah. Thank you very much. How's your family?
Man, family is wonderful. So good. Wife is good, kids are good. You know, if mama's happy, everybody's happy.
What is your mindset? How do you approach this year's event?
You know what? Two things. One, man, I want to have fun. I love that we get to do this. You know, the reality is this game, man, it's so much bigger than this weekend. And there's so many people that make it happen. And it's just a treat to be a part of it, to get to do something you really deeply believe in, you know, and to do it in a fun way. I mean, I love the fact that we get to talk about God, and it's the most attended church service. It's a blast. I love that. So I want to have fun this year. And then the other thing for me is, you know, don't sweat Brian. Like, just be me. If I do me, I'll beat him every time. So,
hey, you know, Brian knows you as well as anyone. What is it that you can bring to the table that he will not see coming?
Good diction. I mean, better vocabulary. Do you want me to keep going? Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, actual accurate interpretation of the scriptures. Pretty much anything you need to win. The thing I'd say, Brian senses the crowd really well. He senses the crowd really well, and he knows how to kind of react and respond to what he's hearing and receiving. So you never know what he's going to pull out of his pocket. You never know what he's going to say out of his mouth. You never know what he's going to pull out of his pocket. So you really do have to be on the lookout for that.
Let's take a look at some of the videotape, because there are some highlights over this past year, and I think you might want to see this. Let's take a look.
Have I told you that I run a marathon? Have I told you that before? I don't think I've told you that before. But actually, I did actually run a marathon. Mary had a little lamb. I ate it. I ate the pig and I ate the bacon and I ran the race because I went to P&G and they sponsored the Flying Pig Marathon. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I've never told you this before, but in West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Back when I was at P&G, I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this at P&G. Let it go, let it go. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, or shooting some b-ball outside of the school. That's just a sample of what we used to do on the corner back in Philly. During my time at P&G, now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me?
You really love to sing in your messages. Running, P&G, Philadelphia. These seem to be some of your go-to touch points in your message. Do you ever think that people might get tired of that message?
You know what, that's a good question. Hey, you're a football guy, you'll get this. I think running, P&G, Philly, that's my lane. That's my, did you see what Ezekiel Elliott did in the championship game?
Yeah.
Man, he knows how to find his lane, right? And when finds it, he goes through it. So for me, maybe people get a little tired of it, but it's my sweet spot, it's my groove, it's my lane.
Well, I know you've been working hard. You've been studying, you've been preparing for this event. Talk to us about in the new year. Is there a motto or some kind of credo that you're going to give us this year?
You know what? Yeah, absolutely. In fact, some people have heard me say this. Nehemiah 6:3, man, I love this verse. It says, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. I mean, I think everybody needs to know, what is that great work that God's called you to? You don't come down from it. It's the thing that God's put you on the planet for. And so that's one of mine for sure. And then, you know, of course, there's another catchphrase for me. Snitches get stitches.
That's for you.
It's honestly anybody's game this year. Also, those guys really look different in person. Back to you.
Solly, thanks for behind the scenes, incredible insights. They have been working all year for this. This is the peak of their year.
That's right. You know, Mark, we do have some rules to today's competition. We're going to put up on your screen right now. There's four of them. The one that I want to call your attention to is the use of this random phrase. Every single service, all new random phrases. And just a warning, some of them are very inappropriate.
Oh, they'll definitely be inappropriate. And I think too many for Brian to stay and follow on.
I think you're right. Well, folks, we know the rules. Let's head on down to the field for today's starting lineups. Mark, let's get to the keys to today's game. Lay them on us.
Well, there's a few. The first one is those random phrases, folks. You'll tell by how they use them. These are totally random. They don't know what they're going to be. Getting them gives them the extra points.
Little downward dog.
Yeah, that's just trouble right there. And it's really critical they stay away from the penalties. These points are flying back and forth. That's just wrong over there. And then finally, we have Brian needing to make sure he uses some scripture, at least some. We know Mingo will. And then finally, this deflate gate, keeping your balls inflated, very important.
Whoa there, Tom Brady.
Hey, they told me you can inflate your friends, you can inflate your balls, but you can't inflate your friends.
All right, gonna head on down to the sideline with our Clifton campus pastor and sideline reporter, Lena Tone. Lena, we gotta know, what's it look like on the field?
Well, it's room temperature. You guys are 18 feet from me, so I'm pretty sure that we feel the same thing on the field right now.
Great. Uh-huh. And how is that, Lena?
It smells a little bit like popcorn, maybe a little bit like regret.
Too much fun.
What about precipitation, Lena?
Once again, we are indoors, Mark, so no precipitation unless there were to be a leak in the ceiling. In which case, I would hope it would be 15 feet to my right next to you.
Hey, so you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
Fantastic work, Lena. Couldn't do it without you and your knowledge of sports and the game. Thanks a lot.
Keen insight.
We're going to head on down to the field to our Florence pastor and esteemed referee, Terry Phillips, for the coin toss.
Gentlemen, bring it in for the coin toss. I want some good, clean preaching. Brian Tome, as the home team, you'll call it in the air.
Tails, what I be kicking.
It is tails. Do you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
He has been receiving several of the last years. Let's see
how
it goes.
Here's the kick.
Clean reception. A jog to the podium.
Brian, please pick your random phrase for the first quarter.
These are...
Your random phrase is, I'm all about that bass, no treble.
I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
This will be tough for Tom to work this one in. Let's be clear, the man has no rhythm.
Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the ability to have fun and for Super Bowl. It's a great national holiday, and we're thankful to be a part of it today. And we not only want to laugh today and have fun, which you've already had, but we want you to visit us. So would you grow every person who's here today, help us become more like you. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, back in September, 32 teams, 1,600 individual players started out the season, and now it's down to two. And why the current two teams? It's not just because obviously they've made it this far and they've won over everybody else to get here, of course, that. But what about these two teams? It is that they are the most, I believe, team-like in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks are going to be, hopefully, the very first repeating Super Bowl champions for several years right now. And of course, the last champions that repeated was who? The Patriots. These two teams understand the team. And the question for us today is, do you understand and are you operating in the midst of team? Because the more you value team, the further and the faster you will go. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, it says this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fail, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So you could have one person who's gifted, but he falls up. Man, he needs somebody else to pick him up. But if you've got three people operating as a team, you're wound together. That is where power and potency comes. And why is this? It's because this is the way God works. At God's heart, as the cosmos he's wired operate, it operates according to team. In the very first part of the Bible, the book of Genesis chapter 1, it says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image. This is a veiled reference to the Trinity. That's a deep idea we're not going to be able to get into. I couldn't even explain it if I had all day to explain it. But it's the idea that God is one, and he exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God, as the us, operates in team, and he's wired us to operate as team, and yet we see little evidence in our society that we're operating as good teammates. Corporate America isn't committed to its employees. Employees aren't committed to their companies. Social media is largely an individual sport. Marriage rates are going down, down, down because people are not seeing the value of being in team and pushing off marriage as an institution way, way, way later in life. People who are married, divorce rates are going up, 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 up because people in marriage don't understand how to function as a team in marriage, and the signs are everywhere. And yet, every great thing that happens in the context of team. And we're in the midst of one of the greatest things ever happened. It's the life of Jesus. If you're an agnostic, an atheist, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Christian, everyone should agree the most impactful person in all of human history was Jesus. And we're here today because of his life. And what did he do that enabled his message to endure till today? He operated in team. One of the first things he does, he gathers people onto his team, the 12 disciples. Here's what it says in the book of Matthew. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who invented a game called Simon Says, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, they saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. So he's gathering up his disciples, and these people are going to be the delivery mechanism to his words and to his message when he's gone from earth, and then their disciples, who they build into, are going to continue the line going on until Jesus' message is going to spread all over the entire planet. One of the better teams in the music industry in our time is U2. I mean, this is a band that's last for generations. They kind of bummed out a lot in the younger generation, those of you who are in the younger generation than me, because you got foisted on you a brand new free CD on your iTunes playlist. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, wah, wah. Amazing how bummed out people were about getting free music. But nonetheless,
is it possible to put a free CD on your iTunes?
I don't know. There's
a little out of touch there.
It's multi-generational right there.
Bono, I'm a big fan of. He was interviewed in a book, which was all about a conversation he had with a French journalist. And he was asked whether or not he wishes he was a solo artist instead of in a band. And he said, absolutely not. If you look, take a look at the greatest music that's been produced or the best band ever, the Beatles, it came in the context of team. And he goes on and he says this. He says, did they ever do better work on their own, these luminous, extraordinary talents? Did they, when they lost the tension? John Lennon actually nearly did, but finally his greatness will be remembered as the work he did with his nemesis, Paul McCartney. Look at Prince. What about Prince? He's all about that bass, no treble. All He's right. one of my favorite all right. composers.
He did it. He slid it in. I'm not sure how much we like it, but
so many better opportunities.
He's trying to showboat that one.
A little bit of in your face
Back to Prince.
Mouth right there.
One of my favorite composers of the 20th century, I really believe in him, but he needs an editor. He needs a row. He needs somebody in the studio to tell him to blank off. And guess what? There's 6 great tracks, and 4 of them are pretty average.
Early flag.
Personal foul, illegal reference, U2, Bono, Beatles, Prince. Pretty soon we'll be talking about Justin Bieber. Let's bring it back to football. There'll be a 3-point penalty assessed at the end of the quarter.
Little harsh there.
It's going to cost him.
3 points just like that.
Look at all great things that comes down to team. Look at Crossroads is doing a lot of great things. We've been growing and growing. And why is that? Why is that? Main reason and the reason from everything else that comes forth is the grace of God. It's the very grace and favor. Who's a fan of the grace of God in here? And blessing us. Yes, absolutely the grace of God. And how has God moved in the grace of God? How has he moved to bless people and grow our church and touch people all over the planet with things that we're doing? He's done it through team. It was an intentional decision for us way, way 19 years ago to function as team. It's interesting when I go out and I meet somebody from Crossroads, I bump into them in the gym or something like that. They've seen me preach and we talk and it's all good. It's fascinating to see the number of people that Crossroads has in it from all the different sites that we have. It's also more gratifying for me, actually, when I'm outside and I'm with people who don't know who I am and the topic of Crossroads comes up. They talk about Crossroads and they have no idea who I am. I love that. I love that because we made a decision to be about a purpose 19 years ago instead of being about a personality. Because we wanted to be about a team instead of being about individual publicity. In fact, if you take a look at many of the well-known preachers that we have in the country today, if you know there, you probably can't name their church because the church is about their personality instead of the actual purpose of what they're doing. That's why we also have multi-site. We have different sites of Crossroads because we're amassing a larger team to bless the world instead of individual standalone churches all over the place. And all of us can learn from this because here's the deal. You need a team. It's the way you were created by God. It's the way history shows the greatness happens. Do you know who your team is and do you value it today? We're going to try to help you do that.
Pretty strong.
Touchdown, Brian Tome. Team Tome has awarded 7 points for a great message, in addition 3 points for use of the phrase. However, there's a 3-point penalty resulting in end of first quarter score. Brian Tome 7, Chuck Mingo 0. It's the end of the first quarter. Huh.
Well, there you have it, Mark. You know, I gotta admit, I'm a little surprised at how dated Tome is being. It's kind of like the old Tom Brady talking CDs and Prince.
They got the tall white guy being Tom Brady and the short black guy being Russell Wilson. I'm a little worried about
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's playing out
on our
field.
That whole thing, we'll have to see.
Well, folks, we know you don't come for the preaching. We'll be back right after this commercial break.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, $79. Okay, Bob. All right.
Did you see my PVP Thursday? Oh my gosh, that is so fresh. You are totes adored.
So strong.
Definitely. Hey, you rascals, what are you talking about out here? Did Justin Timberlake release a new MP3 tape? Okie dokie.
Your dad is so weird.
Tired of missing out on what your kids are saying? Having difficulty understanding words like turnt, bay, ratchet, YOLO, and twerk? Introducing Translator, the world's first and finest pop culture and trending translator. Simply place on the state-of-the-art soundproofing headphones, pick up the device, and discreetly place the trend-sensing microphone in the center of any preteen, tween, or teen conversation.
Devin just asked me if I wanted to turn up with him at the Nicki Minaj concert on
Friday
evening.
Are
you freaking kidding me?
Yucky. He is not a pleasant person to look at.
He is so thirsty.
He is so cute.
To get your very own translator today, call toll-free 1-800-COOL-DAD. Order today.
Thanks, translator.
Is your dad listening?
Sometimes you gotta go back to actually move forward. I don't mean going back to reminisce or chase goats. I mean going back to see where you came from. Man must question everything. Is there another word for synonym? Would a fly without wings be called a walk? If I stepped on a Cheerio, would I be a serial killer? And whose idea was it to have a letter S in the word lisp? I know there's those who say you can't go back. They also say you can't go up, can't go down, you can't go to the left, can't go to the right. Why is everyone always telling me what I can and can't do? This is America. Proud to be an American! Yes. Más queso, la señorita.
Quake with their surging.
Mark, I know one thing. Tome knows how to pick a winner.
Oh, my gosh. He was a full knuckle up. It was
and the role.
Very, very bad imagery. But I did like the serial killer. That was strong.
That's good. Hey, before we go any further, I want to stop and pause a minute on Go New Orleans. Folks, for this year, 10 years later, we're still going to be sending down 220 people this summer to build houses, care for kids, and love on a city that's still wrecked by Hurricane Katrina. So just like in that video, if you want 2015 to be about something bigger than yourself, head to crossroads.net/go-trips for more information.
These are significant life moments, literally life-changing trips. I strongly encourage everybody to go, whether you've been here for the first day today or you've been coming for a while. These trips are phenomenal. We are ready for you.
That's right. Well, buckle up. We'll head on back down to the field for the start of our second quarter.
Chuck Mingo, you have the Bible for the second quarter. Please pick your random phrase. Your random phrase is, it makes me feel lumbersexual.
It makes me feel...
lumbersexual?
I'm a little nervous.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Boy, you know, I watch those commercials, those invitations, and I hope you see it as an invitation if you're new around here, to go somewhere with us this year. Last year, 560 people got out of their normal context, and they went to New Orleans or to India or to South Africa, and their lives were changed. You know, I was one of those people. I went to India last year, and man, it just changed the way that I see God. It changed the way I see the world, and I want you to know, if this is your first time here, we would love for you to consider that. It's one of the reasons why we do community groups. Right now, over 3,000 people at all of our sites are in groups that are helping them grow in their marriages, helping them grow in their relationship with God, helping them overcome an addiction of some kind. And we do things like this. We do things like Go Trips and like community groups and like The Journey, which 50,000 of us are going to do this year and find out what it means to be brave. We do these things because team is at the core of it. And not only is team the way that God works, but I've just found, maybe you too, team is the way that growth works. You know, Jesus really was a team guy. He was a team guy. And Brian talked about the 12 men that he chose to invest in, to spend time with, to be his core team when he walked the earth. And Jesus took that decision very, very seriously. We see that the night before he began to call these guys into relationship, he prayed all night long. Luke chapter 6 says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. This was a big decision for Jesus. You know why? Because he understood that your friends determine the quality and the direction of your life. Your friends, probably more than anything else, determine the quality of your life, and they determine the trajectory, the direction of your life. You know, one of the NFL stories that won't be is one that I'm really excited about. I'm excited about Cardell Jones and what he did in the championship game.
O-H-I-O.
Yes. Man, bringing the championship home. This is the only college player to start in three games and win a ring in all three games that he started in. I mean, if he left at this point, he would make a lot of money in the NFL. But he chose to stay, to be a third stringer at a school that has some great quarterbacks. Why? Because he understood that as much as I want to develop in the game, I want to develop as a person. I want to develop as a young man. I want to develop as a young father, which he is. And he was willing to forego what many people would run after, the money, to get developed in other ways because he's a part of a team and he gets the value of that. Peter Drucker, a management guru, talks about the power of team. He says this. He says, no organization can depend on genius. The supply is always scarce and unreliable. And I would take that and make it personal as it relates to why we need teams to grow. No individual can depend on genius. The supply is always scarce and unreliable.
Nice.
You know, the truth is, today, regardless of who wins this game, the person who's probably going to get the most press is the quarterback, whether it be Russell Wilson or whether it be Tom Brady. But you know what? An ESPN article I recently read put it really well. It was talking about Russell Wilson, said no one gets more help than Russell Wilson. And you know, you think about football, the quarterback is actually the most dependent person on the field. They need everybody else to do their job. They need a defense that shuts down the other offense. They need special teams to give them a short field. And they need their offensive line to give them time to throw the football. In fact, in football, and for most teams this is true, The number one paid position is, of course, the quarterback position, but in many cases, the second highest paid player is the left tackle on the offensive line. It's because most NFL quarterbacks are right-handed. So when they drop back for a pass, they need a left tackle to protect their blind side. And Russell Okung is the left tackle for the Seattle Seahawks. He's the most important person on the field to Russell Wilson today. We need people to be in our lives, to be team, who protect and cover our blind side. I had a recent experience with this. I don't know if I'm the only person who feels this way, but man, it is really challenging to get honest with your friends about money. You know, to really talk about how you spend your money and all of those details. And I don't know, am I the only person that like wrestles with that? That's a hard thing for me to do. But what I realized recently is I can go to a whole new place with money if I'm willing to get vulnerable, if I'm willing to do things that may put me in a situation where people know more about how I spend my money. But I have friends in my life that are part of my team who have forgotten more about money than I'll ever know about it. And if I'm willing to get vulnerable, they could help me go to a new level. So I recently did that with a friend of mine. I recently did that. At the risk of it making me feel lumbersexual, I got real honest with him about my money.
How does that work?
Slipped it right in there.
He used the word, but I'm not quite sure it works. Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know what? Help me out. Here's how I'm spending my money. What do you think? And you know what? Just two of the ideas, just two. He gave me several, but just two of the ideas will be the equivalent of me getting a pay raise without having to make any more money. And you know what? The truth is, that's what team does. When you allow people to have your blind side, to cover you, they can help you grow to a new place. There's a book of wisdom in the Bible called Proverbs. It says this about friendship. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know what the truth is? When I was talking with my friend about money, there's some things he said that stung a little bit, kind of made me flinch because he was getting into my personal space, right? Asking me questions about choices that I'm making. But I know and I'm experiencing the fruit of that because I'm growing in that area because I was willing to let him be a friend, part of my team who covers my blind side. I'm not a Patriots fan. It's one of the reasons I love to wear this jersey. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I tell you what, I respect Tom Brady. And one of the reasons I respect Tom Brady is because Tom Brady gets the value of team. In the AFC Championship, something very unique happened. Tom Brady's left tackle, Nate Solder, actually got a pass from Tom Brady. He was an eligible receiver, and he got to score a touchdown. You have to understand, this guy probably hasn't scored a touchdown from Pee Wee League to the NFL. It was a big deal for him. And there was a Twitter pic that I saw and thought was really cool. It said this, why do Brady's teammates love playing with him? The little things. Here's Brady securing Solder's touchdown ball for the left tackle. So while Solder's on the sideline celebrating what will probably be his only touchdown in his career, if you focus in, what you'll see is Tom Brady going to the referee so that he can give that ball later to Nate and say, man, this was a big day, and I want you to know I appreciate you covering my blind side.
That is very impressive. He uses the football analogy and ties it to team, I think a marvelous use of a clip.
Yeah, but I don't think Mingo knows that Brady was actually just going to let some air out of that ball.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
And I love when I see things like that, when I see something on the field of sports, and football particularly, that shows this transcendent value. Because the truth is, man, you need someone who covers your blind side. You need someone who has freedom and permission to wound you with truth. And if you're willing to do that, you can go to a whole new, it reminds me of a celebration in my life of people who have covered my blind side. This was after my time at P&G, after I ran the marathon. I was in Philly with my family. Have I shown you a picture of my family?
Come on. There's a flag.
Unpreacher-like conduct, excessive celebration, not to mention another P&G mention.
Right.
Let's cut it out. There'll be 3-point penalty assessed at the end of the quarter.
I wish we had Phillips around here all year long to keep that from happening.
First time I've ever heard a ref say, cut it out.
Yeah.
Seriously, you need a team around you because we all have blind sides. And we need people who have freedom to wound us with truth. So man, if you don't have that in your life, I want to encourage you to get that. I want to encourage you to put yourself in new situations, to build team around you so you can have the kind of friendships that will cover your blind side. And boy, if you have someone in your life like that, you need to give them a game ball. You need to shoot them a text. You need to give them a call and tell them, I appreciate you because your willingness to wound me with truth has helped me grow to a whole new level because team is the way that growth works.
Nice.
Touchdown, Chuck Mingo.
Yep.
Team Mingo's awarded 7 points for a great message, in addition 3 points for use of the phrase. However, there's a 3-point penalty resulting in an end of half score. Chuck Mingo 7, Brian Tome 7. That's the end of the first half.
Wow.
Well, Mark, we're all tied up. Your quick reactions to the first half.
Both played outstanding Bible verse usage, linked it to football, but have failed with the penalties.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, hey, folks, the only thing between you and our halftime show is this next commercial break.
This year's Super Bowl of Preaching brought to you by Boys to Mingo, Chuck's homemade Boys to Men tribute album.
I'll make Chuck to you when you want Chuck to. And Chuck will not let go till you tell Chuck to.
All your favorite Boys to Men hits just like you remember them, with some words changed and also no harmonies.
I couldn't afford the copyright fees.
Get this compilation for only $4.99 or bring Chuck a blank cassette tape and he'll dub it for you.
Chuck Mingo.
Okay, Nose, what's cooking?
Smells like bacon.
That's right.
Nice. Okay, Nose, where's my gym bag?
Check under the bed. You should probably wash those shorts.
Team, 2014 was our best year yet. We made max revenue from...
Okay, Nose. Who farted?
Smells like Tim.
What did Tim eat?
Rotten eggs or White Castles.
Our company has taken a nosedive at the beginning of the first quarter.
Mashed up! Hands up in the air! Go, 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 go! It's party, party, party!
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Is this thing on? Can you all hear me? Looks like the lights went out. Hell, it's dark as night. Stay calm. Nobody panic. It's going to be all right. Now, let me hear that kick drum. In this dark hour, let's shine away every shred of darkness and doubt. Let's burn bright with love until the love runs out. Now everybody get on your feet and crack that light open together on three. One. Two.
Some noise! One, two, one, two, three, four! Corey, your move. You guys can have a seat. Welcome to Crossroads. If it's your first time here or your first time to the Super Bowl of Preaching, welcome. I hope that you're enjoying yourself. We're halfway through. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background and a little bit of insight into our team here at Crossroads and why we're doing this big Super Bowl of Preaching. So we realized about 13 years ago that across the nation, Super Bowl weekend is the least attended weekend in churches because it's a national holiday. Everyone, no matter your race, your religion, where you come from, all across the country, everyone watches the Super Bowl together. And so we said, what would it look like for us to change this? And what would it look like for us to have the most attended weekend of our whole year in Crossroads be Super Bowl weekend? And so we came together, we tried some things, and what do you know, 13 years later, we have 40,000 people around the city in church this weekend at Crossroads on Super Bowl weekend. And it's awesome, is it not? Are we having fun yet? Yes, we are. So one of the things that we do as a team around here is we like to be generous together because we believe that when we pull our resources together, we can actually change the world. And I'm not just saying that. Our money, when it comes into Crossroads, all of it goes back out and goes towards things like demolishing poverty in our city through funding CityLink Center and caring for orphans in South Africa and rescuing girls out of sex slavery in India and making more space for our friends to learn about God in a language that they can understand all across the city and then grow spiritually as time goes on. And so we get really excited about that. We get excited about the ways that we can change the world when we pull our resources together. So we like to be generous. And so now is a time where we're going to take up an offering. And if it's your first time here, there's no pressure, but now is also a really great time to jump into being part of this team at Crossroads. So a bag's going to come down your aisle. You can give with cash or check. And while we do that, what better time for another commercial break? Thanks for being here.
You gotta pick me up?
Dude, you have got to try this!
Ah! A new energy drink from the makers of Red Bull and ExxonMobil! Straight up gasoline!
Unicorn!
Pork chop sandwiches!
Rainbows everywhere!
My skin's on fire. I think I died.
Why does Chuck Mingo have such a beautiful singing voice? Baby, you're a song and make me wanna roll my windows down. Cruise! Everyone dreams about eating a horse. But I did once. Saddle and all. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
And we're back. Mark, what are we looking for in the second half?
You know, both players left too many points on the table with those errors. You got to stay error-free if you're going to win this championship. I am looking for somebody to come in and just wow us.
That's right. Well, let's head on down to the field for the start of our second half.
Chuck Mingo, you'll have the Bible for the third quarter. Please pick your random phrase. Your random phrase is, some two pieces are just more flattering on men.
Wow.
I'm very nervous again.
Hopefully no visuals.
There's an uncomfortable theme with the
Indeed.
Phrases for me today.
It's true. Lumber. No, we're not
going. I know. So if you value team, you go further faster because it's the way God works. And it's the way that growth works. But the unique thing about team in the context of Jesus, in the context of the way of Jesus and the person of Jesus, is it's the way that grace works. You know, this is really the distinctive of Jesus versus every other religious or spiritual path. Every other religious path basically goes by this formula. Here are the rules, and if you keep these rules, you get relationship with God, or you get the higher state of life that you're longing for. But you've got to keep the rules. But only in the way of Jesus, only in the Bible, do we see a God who says, I recognize that you won't be perfect and you won't keep the rules, so I will close that gap. I will come, fulfill the rules you can't fulfill, and as you receive my grace, you get right relationship with me. It's this amazing, unbelievable thing called grace, and it is unique to the way of Jesus. And in this context of team, it looks like having a teammate who remains faithful even when we fail. Again, one of the stories coming out of the NFC Championship game was the incredible Seattle Seahawks comeback on the Green Bay Packers. Did you see that game? Oh my goodness. I mean, I thought that game was over a long time ago, and yet some amazing things happened in that game, and I believe that underneath what we saw on the field, there was a transcendent principle playing out with that team of grace. Russell Wilson, up to that point, had the worst game of his career. Through 4 interceptions, no touchdowns, he was struggling in a big way. His quarterback rating was 0. And so there was no way that I saw Seattle winning that game and going on to their second Super Bowl appearance, which they're going to do today. I mean, it was an unbelievable game to watch. And if you saw it on the sidelines afterward, Russell Wilson was pretty emotional. So let's take a look at his sideline interview because it was a pretty moving piece for me.
Russell, just tell me, I mean, what are you thinking right now?
God is so good all the time, man. Every time. These guys on this team are unbelievable, man. The fight, the relentless fight over and over again. The people used to doubt, man. I'm just excited to be on this team. I'm excited to play with the guys. I mean, 4 minutes left in the game, 3 minutes, 4 interceptions, and just keep playing. And these guys just keep believing in me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see
Uh-oh.
Him.
A challenge flag, the first of the
Brian
game.
Brian Tome, what is your challenge?
You can't have grown black men crying in church. That's just not good.
There it is again.
You're actually right. There should be no crying in football. However, why has it got to be about race? Race mask?
Oh.
Penalties offset. That's a good penalties offset. Chuck Mingo, you'll maintain possession of the Bible.
Tome cannot afford a race mask at this point in the game.
It is questionable to throw that out there. Too many flags. Let's see how it shapes up on the score.
See, the truth is Russell Wilson really isn't given to tears all the time, but I believe the reason he was so emotional is because of the grace he was given by his team when he was struggling. And so we see a guy who's able to come back from an incredible defeat or a potential defeat and throw an amazing pass that brought them to the Super Bowl. You know, that story of grace wasn't just about how the team didn't give up on Russell Wilson, how they stayed faithful to him. But it was also him staying faithful when another teammate was failing. Jermaine Kearse was his number one wide receiver, the go-to guy, and he had dropped 5 passes in the regular quarters of the game. Somehow, they get this game to go to overtime, and Russell Wilson went over to Jermaine Kearse, and he said, hey, listen, I know you've been struggling all day, but I'm telling you, if we make it to overtime, I'm coming to you. I'm throwing the ball to you, and you're going to catch it, and we're going to go to the second Super Bowl because you know what? Some two pieces are just more flattering on men, and 2 Super Bowl rings is way more flattering than 1.
Wow.
We're going to make this work.
On
we're going to make
feet.
This work.
He made it work.
I'm still a little
he's
uncertain.
Autographing he's autographing the phrase
oh no.
and giving it to Tome.
He's pulling a Terrell Owens out.
Wow.
The Sharpie was ready. Wow. Oh, my.
I tell you what, there is a special power whenever grace is operating in a team. And I want you to know Jesus is this kind of teammate. One of the reasons I believe that I've experienced the kind of power, the kind of ability to see change in my life is because Jesus has allowed me to be on his team and he offers me grace. And we see this with Jesus' closest friends. Peter was one of his closest friends. And in the Bible, he was one of the 12. And we're actually going to do a deep dive into Peter's life because we can learn a lot about grace from his story. Peter was like me. He failed a lot. Mm-hmm. He let Jesus down a lot. In fact, in a critical moment of Jesus' life, when Jesus was arrested and was going to be ultimately tried and crucified, Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times. Said, I don't even know the guy, out of fear. And yet on the other side of that, on the other side of the cross and his resurrection, we see Jesus interacting with Peter, and he says to Peter 3 times, for the 3 times Peter denied him, he said, Peter, you're still my guy. Peter, you're still my guy. Peter, you're still my guy. And I want you to know, if you think that because you weren't able to keep the rules, that somehow you're beyond the grace of Jesus, today Jesus says to you, you're still my guy. You're still my girl. I know that you failed in a marriage, but you know what? My grace is sufficient for your failure.
Draws the applause.
I know that you stole the money and you think there's no recovery from that. I'm telling you what, my grace is sufficient for that. Jesus wants us to know that when you are on his team, you are always on his team. I love how it puts it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, if we are faithless, and you know what? We will all be faithless because we have blind sides. But man, it's good news to know that when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot and he will not deny himself. Every other spiritual path will fail you if you fail it, if you can't keep the rules. But Jesus is so different. And he offers a team that provides grace. And when you fail him, you know what he does? He forgives you. He redeems you. He restores you. I've seen him do that in my life. Reminds me of a song that we used to sing in the church that I grew up in. What a friend we have.
Oh, no.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a showboat.
All our sins and griefs to bear.
He's going to sing the whole song.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I tell you what, it is amazing to think that you can have a friendship with God.
Yeah, look at that, though.
Oh, my goodness.
The crowd rewards him.
They're encouraging
him. But his grace... Wow. It's for all of us, and it's because team is the way that grace works.
All right, let's see what
happens. Touchdown, Chuck Mingo.
Gets the touchdown.
Chuck, you're awarded 7 points for a great message and 3 points for use of the phrase. In addition, penalties offset. That leaves us with an end of third quarter score. Chuck Mingo 17, Brian Tome 7. It's the end of the third quarter.
Unbelievable. Wow. These people are practically eating from his hands.
I know.
I don't know how Tome's going to come back
from this. Well, Brian, I think, used that questionable race card once again. It could cost him the game.
Let's see what happens.
Brian, pick your phrase for the fourth quarter. Your random phrase is, which can best be illustrated by this dance move.
Not his strong suit.
Maybe he can just act this one out instead of saying it.
Team works if you work team. Team works if you work team. And one of the dynamics of team is grace that Chuck so eloquently defined for us. Where is it that you can get grace in our society? Do you have a team where you can get grace? All of us understand that we should be able to give each other slack and have grace. And I think that's part of why Bill Belichick's conference about the whole Deflategate scandal struck so many people so wrong, as he basically threw his quarterback under the bus, right? Said, I don't know. I don't know anything about football. That's the quarterback's job. It seemed anti-grace. And that's because our country, for the most part, is anti-grace. Where can you go to get grace in our country? Is corporate America going to give you any grace?
No.
Is the homeowner association going to give you any grace?
No way.
Is the IRS going to give you any grace?
Definitely not.
I mean, we could go on. Oh, yeah. We keep going, going. Let's just have a haterade fest right now. You know, think about all the people who don't give us any sense of grace, but yet the one place you should be able to go is to Jesus' team. When he created these 12 disciples, they started creating disciples. They started starting churches, spread all over the world, and you should be able to go to a local church. and you should be able to find grace. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says this, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." He says, I don't call you some little peon who doesn't understand what's happening, because I brought you into the team, and I'm calling you a friend. What an amazing thing this is to hear that we have a friend. And this is Jesus' strategy to operate according to a team. One of the major things that we need to do as teammates, to leverage team, is instead of working on our weaknesses, we need to work outside of our weaknesses. The way corporate America and the rest of our company work or country works is rugged individualism, right? It's all about you, and so therefore it's all about your gifts and your abilities. And so we go into performance reviews, and what does the manager oftentimes point out? Our weaknesses or our opportunities, and we have to have some plan to sort of grow those. Hey, here's an idea. How about if you don't grow your weaknesses at all? How about if you get outside of your weaknesses? What if we actually have a team? The people in that team can do things that we can't do, and we can do things for them that they can't do. This is the way I've been organizing my life more and more and more. My marriage is going pretty well, and part of the reason why it's going well is Lib and I are operating more as team. There's things I used to try to grow her in. I'm not trying to grow her in any longer. Like, I thought, okay, if we're going to get a new car or a used car and she's going to be the one who's driving it, I need to take her through the process, have her try to comb through the Craigslist ads with me and go through all the pros and cons. I realized, no, she has no desire for that. She has no natural ability to sort through mechanical facts. So guess what? So long as she's married to me, she will never have to find another car on Craigslist. I got that. I totally got that one for her. And there's also some things that she's got for me. And it's almost embarrassing to say, but I don't do a lot of laundry around our house. We have some traditional roles in our family. She servantly does that really well, and it's amazing to me. I go, and I open up the dresser, and there's folded underwear. Oh, my gosh!
It makes you wonder if Mrs. Tomes ever heard,
gosh,
know your role and shut your hole.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta tell you, it's true. Well, to this day, I remember way, way, way back when. I've been doing my own laundry since I was 14 by my mother. And, you know, when you're doing your own laundry from 14 to age 22, you're like, you're getting creative. You're learning how to turn into underwear inside out. You're learning how to
do
all kinds of stuff.
We don't want to hear it.
And so today, to go and see, I'm like, oh, it's best illustrated by this dance move.
What?
Get it.
Well,
he's still going.
At least he's going.
He's still going. Oh! And Mingo's on his feet. He loves it.
Was that the traditional role he was talking about?
He just wiped with the slip.
Here at Crossroads, we try to operate that way. One of the things I'm awful at is I am awful at long-range planning.
Mm-hmm.
Awful at it. And guess what? I don't improve in it. I have people around me who are good at it. Over 19 years of different messages and sermon series, I've planned very few. Because there's people on staff who plan it better. Even way back 19 years ago, Brian Wells, the second series the Crossroads ever did in 1996 and on, he planned those things out. Very rare for me to do that, and I'm totally fine with someone giving me material or telling me what the topic is, rather, and then in team figuring that out. Very rarely does something come out of me, except for our next series, Wolfpack. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be awesome. I'm still panting from the centipede.
There's a lot of things coming out of him he doesn't know about.
Let's just have a couple deep breaths and get it over with. Whew. All right, now. So anyway, our next series on Wolfpack is all about how men need to be a team together, and I cannot wait for it. And there's going to be a little twist in this one because guess what? In every wolf pack, there's females as well. So we're going to have some unique stuff for that. But all of these things come out of me wanting to be with other people. We chose a long time ago to be about purpose and not to be about personality. We chose a long time ago to be about the collective whole coming together instead of individual superstars. And we learned this from Jesus and his ways. John 15, verse 16 to 17, he says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." By the way, this is plural. "I appointed you, the team, the people I'm building into, that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." Where in the world can you get grace? You can get grace at a local church. And I'll tell you, if you're looking one, you can get grace at this local church, this team called Crossroads. If you don't have a team that has your backside, if you don't have a team that you're able to contribute to, if you don't have a place where you can go and get grace, we've tried to wire this team after Jesus's team, and we've tried to give each other grace for the purpose of blessing the world. You need to find a team. I don't know if it's here, I don't know where it is, but you need to find a team and you need to operate as a teammate, because this is the way successful and effective lives always work.
Nice finish.
There it is.
Touchdown, Brian Tome.
Yeah, he scores.
Team Tome is awarded 7 points for a great message. In addition, 3 points for use of the phrase. Okay. That gives us an end of score 17-17. However, I'm giving the extra point to the dance star. Brian Tome is the Super Bowl champion.
Wow.
The centipede paid off.
And we're awarding you a 1-year supply of straight up gasoline. Let's give it to him.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Hey, let's thank the whole team. The whole team parking cars out at Crossroads. The whole team in the atrium. All the First Impressions people. All the people in the band. Amazing team effort. Really, really good. So, anything about the team in Clifton you want to mention?
Yeah, our newest team is in Clifton, for those of you that haven't heard, at Bogart's. Yes. Bogart's, on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. So if you have a hard time getting to church on Saturday nights or Sunday mornings, or you live in the Clifton area, or you're in college and want to meet other college students, there's a lot at Bogart's on Sunday nights. So come check it out, 7 p.m.
Hey, anyone in Northern Kentucky, we want you to know we have an amazing team, amazing community that gives grace. If you're new, we want you on that team. Would love to see you. Come visit Florence.
That's right. I'll do the same ask. If you drove west of 74, man, we want you at Westside. We're already outgrowing our two services, so we're adding a third next week. See you at 8:15, 10, or 11:45.
Very strong, and after 6 years, Mason has its own building.
Yeah, it does.
We doubled in 3 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. We're moving to 3 services in just 3 more weeks. February 22nd. Greg, your thoughts on the real Super Bowl?
The real Super Bowl. It might not be popular, but I'm going Patriots 24-17.
21-17 Seahawks. Make sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Make sure you get your kids and get out of this parking lot. We need your space. Thank you so much
weekend.
For coming. We will see you next weekend.